Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Now we're in the middle of, this will be airing in the middle of March 19th, actually Wednesday the 19th. So we're excited about that. And we've been doing How Do We Discern God's Will, what we call a primer, a short little course here that we've been working through to get a little bit more helpful in how does it really work and the ingredients of how it works, and to keep remembering that God has a will. Mm-hmm. It has to be very specific by definition. You have to receive what we call rhema, that, yeah, there's biblical truth that he doesn't violate, but now he has to apply that to our specific situation. And we got to know, as we prayed and went in Psalm 143, cause us to hear what you have to say, cause us to know the way we're supposed to go. And it's very specific. And again, the cool thing about God's will, which is something that does God have a will? Yes. Is it for his kingdom purposes? Yes. But he gears his will to us because it's unique to us.
Right. Absolutely.
So the will for me and Linda is different than the will for you and Dan. You're at different places. You got different decisions. You got different adversities, different things that need to be resolved. It's really specific to us, but it is his will. It's kind of cool to say, well, we have to follow it, knowing that we have our own stuff to follow. And so it's kind of fun. And we talked about, you know, pursuing unity to bring others into the process. We talked last time about the aspect of talking it out with each other, that he's listening, he's giving us insight and wisdom, and he's got to get to clarity about this. And the beautiful thing is that as you practice that, you'll experience it.
Absolutely.
Because you'll say, oh, there's this, look at that insight. Look, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And we help each other with that. Hey, did you see? That got it. Dave Duncan and I were at a C12 session, and in C12, they periodically have the CEOs present their kind of their business scenario. Any insight you have about that? So they're talking it out. In essence, he's presenting. And this one guy he's got a real sticky scenario. He's presenting the sticky scenario, and he makes a statement. And Dave and I both recognize it. And we said, wait a minute, stop. Repeat, what did you just say? And he repeated it. And we basically in the group heard, wait a second, you're looking for an answer. And you just said something that's going to lead you to the answer. So stop a second, and that's the beauty of a talking out. And that God says, you see what I'm doing here? Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, now do you recognize that? Yeah. Okay. So with that, and we all saw it, that's how it works, is that God, you're talking, and all of a sudden God says, hey, pay attention to this.
Highlight
I'm trying
something.
To say
yeah.
something. I'm trying to show something. Now go down that path to pursue it, which he did. And by the way, it worked out to be a beautiful answer that he wound up getting. And that moment was just the beginning of that.
Right.
It wasn't like, here's the answer. It's like, do you recognize we got to go this way with this? Yeah, okay. And it was really fun to be part of it. And again, reinforced for Dave and I that that's how it works.
Absolutely.
Is talk it through, process it through, let people, let God speak and highlight. And so then he's got to move us to a place where it does get resolved and does have answers. So go to 2 Samuel 7, 18 and 29. Now, this is David, and I want to set up the scenario here so then you can hear the words of Scripture. David, being the king and a follower of Christ, God, through his belief in God, and hearing it, he is able to hear his voice, and he's got the Holy Spirit, and he understands it all. He says, because God, we're having meeting with God in a tabernacle. And a tabernacle, would think of it as this gigantic tent that they move from place to place to place.
Right.
and it was called the Tent of Meeting. And anybody could go in, by the way, not just the king, but David was used to going in. He would talk to God. And anybody could go in and hear God's voice and talk to God and process with God. And he said, well, I think because here we are in Israel and we're centered in Israel at Jerusalem, why don't we put a permanent place mm-hmm. called the temple where now everybody in the area can go and we don't have to move the tent around? Wouldn't that be a good idea? You know, mm-hmm. And so he says, I think I'll build God a temple. He goes to Nathan. Now think about what we've been talking about mm-hmm. is bring in other counselors,
right?
Bring in the prophetic, bring in to get confirmation. And he goes to Nathan, who's a prophet, and he knows that Nathan talks to God and has mm-hmm. helped him confirm things. And by the way, Nathan's been the one that helped him get through his sin, you know, and I think I'll build God a temple. Hey, Nathan, I'm going to build God a temple. Nathan says, great idea. Yep, go ahead. Now, as far as David's concerned, he just got confirmation from a prophet. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, you know, and so God goes to get to Nathan and says, son, come here a second. Yeah, you're a prophet, but you forgot kind of the important thing.
Me.
You forgot to ask me, and you made an assumption because it sounded like a good idea. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, there's the danger of God's will, is that we can have people around us that say, well, that sounds like to us like a good idea. Yeah, go ahead. And you think it's being confirmed, but it's really not.
Right.
And of course, God said to Nathan, hey, son, you forgot that aspect of it. Nope. No, my answer is no. David is not to build me a temple. There is to be a temple built. It'll come through his son.
Right.
It'll come through his son, which by the way is Solomon, who's the son of Bathsheba. So the neat thing about that is that God's always now forward.
Yes.
It's not like, well, because of your sin, we can't have him do it either. It's like, well, we can have him do it because I've forgiven you and let's go. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, David, not because of Bathsheba, but because he was a man of war. And I don't want the temple to be built. I want it to be built from a son who hasn't gone to war. Okay. So tell David no. The answer is no. But I have a promise for David. Mm-hmm. And that is that I'm going to bring, because they already understood the concept of Messiah and Christ, you know, there was going to be another Messiah who was going to come. And the Messiah is going to come, David, through your lineage. Mm-hmm. And I will bring it about and you can believe it and trust it that it's going to happen. And that's my promise, my will. My promise is that. Mm-hmm. Go tell David that. Okay, so that's the context of these verses now in 2 Samuel 7, 18 to 29.
Sure. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt and the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please you to bless this the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever.
And there's just so much depth to this. But David said, I'm going to build you a house, mm-hmm. a temple. And he says, no, Yeah, there'll be a temple built, but not by you. And he says, mm-hmm. actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a house through you. And there's going to be a temple built through you. The Messiah is going to come through you. And then as Christ showed us, taught us, and then we understood it, is didn't flip from being a place, a temple, to guess what? We are the temple.
Yes. Yeah.
The Messiah is going to come and place himself into the offspring of Israel, which then will be believers who are grafted in.
Right.
And the temple is going to be them. And it's all going to come through you, and the Messiah is going to come, and it's going to impact the world to invite people to the kingdom. And Israel will be the center of that, but they'll be the offspring, which will be the Gentiles who believe will be grafted in. So I'll build you a temple. Okay. So David hears that. Here's my promise for you. Here's my will for you. First of all, he received the answer, no, you are not to do this.
Right.
Okay. I get it. And Nathan and both of them said, we're sorry, we forgot to ask you.
Right.
but we receive your answer. Yeah. Willingly receive your answer. Okay, great. Fantastic. Now God says, I'm going to do this. Now, when he said that, David, he started to process that. And he makes this amazing statement. I found it in my heart to pray this prayer to you. So what he did was say, okay, I heard what you said. I don't understand that. I'm not clear on this. It's fuzzy to me. And so what he did is he spent weeks and probably a couple of months praying. What exactly are you saying to me? Help me understand it. What is your will? And as we are trying to put this together, that's kind of a critical piece. So think of it coming from two different directions. One, I've got an issue. I've got a problem. I've got a decision. I'm coming to you. Could you please lead me to your will?
Right.
And what do you have to say about that? And it's going to be probably a little bit fuzzy, not clear. I'm not sure what yet. Would you please help me understand it? And I'm going to find it in my heart to pursue this. What? To get clarity. I need clarity. And I'm going to pray. And then we talked about, what do? Bring in help, talk to each other, process with each other. What step are we supposed to take? Help us understand it. And God says, find it in your heart to go after it. And that's what David did. I found it in my heart to go after this. And then so it can be from me asking a question. What have you got to say about my situation? Or it can be God breaking in and saying, I have something new for you. I have something for you to pay attention to. I have something for you to consider. I want you to spend time pursuing what I've just introduced to you that you were kind of not expecting.
Right.
So like, for example, when our ministry was growing and we weren't even asking the question, you know, what are we supposed to do? We already said, well, we'll just keep doing some of these retreats. And okay.
And God interrupted.
Then he interrupts us and said, hey, son, get ready. It's gonna dramatically grow. And I'm going to have to show you what that looks like in terms of your energy, your time, tactics, the things that I'm going to bring to you. And then he said, I'm going to have you build a new retreat home. So he breaks in. It wasn't something we were asking for.
Right.
We were involved. And we were caring, you know, what, show us where to go. And we thought we were. He said, okay, now get ready for something that's coming. And he introduced it like he did with David. I have a new way for you to think, you know, way for you to go. Okay. So then all we did was say, okay, we're willing to pay attention. And we literally understood this verse here is I find it the courage in our hearts to pray, show us more, show us more.
Right.
And he one thing he said, well, one thing I want you to understand right away, because this is coming, do not accept any other assignments from other people. And we got that right away. Okay.
Right.
So guess what happened? We got invitations to, you know, be an elder, be on this committee, do this for the church, go speak, even speak the kind of stuff you're talking about. Go speak. All these things.
But not every opportunity is an assignment, right?
That's right. And God had already said the answer is automatically no. You don't even have to pray about it. It's no. Because I got to show you what's next. And be ready for what's next. pay attention, find it in your heart to pray. What do you have to say, and how does it work? You know, and so he started to unpack that in terms of how do we develop leadership and what do we do about this new house and how do we develop the material? It started to then, okay, what do you have to say about that? Until I understand it. And so David did that and he gets to verse 28. Read verse 28 because this is where it goes.
Sure. Says, "And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please
you." Yeah, just 28. We'll stay 28, and then we'll get 29. Okay, so as God either is answering our question, "I got an issue, what do you got to say about it?" Or he breaks in and says, "Hey, I've got a new thing for you to look at." Okay, in both cases, he says, you got to get to verse 28. And this is what 28 says. Number one, you are God, and I recognize you're God. You have the answer, and I don't need to worry about my plan.
Right.
You're God.
It's a full surrender, full submission, right?
I really fully understand. You're God. I'm not. You know more than me. I don't. I don't need to figure this out, and right. I don't need to tell you my plan. You're God, and I'm not. Okay, I got to get there. Number two, your words are true, and I'm pursuing the truth of what you have to say, which, by the way, I got to keep praying, cause me to hear it and cause me to know.
Right.
And your words are true. I can trust it. I don't need to second guess it. I don't need to wonder, is this really true? And I got to get there. So I say, yep, they're true. And I believe it and I understand it. And then third is you have spoken specifically to me. Something about my life that you want me to join you in. And, right. and I understand it now. And David understood that, hey, you're going to build me a house. The Messiah is going to come through me. I got to teach my children and keep having Israel follow it. I get it. And I understand it. Why? Because I took the time to receive the application of specific promise to me personally.
Right. Right.
And my steps in that, you know, and so I get it. So your words are true. And now I understand you have spoken this to me and the steps that you're asking me to take. And when I get there, which is clarity and unity with my spouse, unity with my family, right. unity with my inner circle, I know what you're up to and I know the step you're asking me to take. Now, read verse 29.
It says, "Now, therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever."
Yep. So at that point, it flips from, you know, what step am I supposed to take? Or what are you saying to me? I receive that. I know the step I'm supposed to take. Now may you fulfill what you just said in terms of I'm going to take this step and you're going to show me what that means.
Right.
And I know the path.
Trusting and fully believing that he can take God at his word.
Right, right. Yeah. And I'm headed down this path so that I got this problem. You've already spoken a covenant to me. So like Jehoshaphat. We got this enemy. You said you're going to save us. I believe that. Exactly what you want me to do? Well, tomorrow go down here. Okay, I'll take that step. I know I can pray. May it be so that you said you'll take care of the battle's yours, not mine. Okay, I get that. Now, how's that going to work? I'll go tomorrow to this place and you'll see the next piece of it. So it's both. I know the path I'm on, the promise I've been given, and I know the step that I'm supposed to take. And we get, he says, now when you're at that point, you have clarity about that. You can pray, amen, so be it. In other words, you don't need to ask anymore. You don't need to wonder what's going to happen. I'm telling you the promise I've given, and you have clarity about the next step. Take the next step. Right. And don't even ask me anymore about it. If you're there, which is where it's got to go, you actually pray, may it be so.
Right.
And show me the answer to that. And step into the result of it. And it goes from, and I was actually talking to someone just yesterday about that. And he made a statement as we were working through this. He said, so since I know since I know what he said, and I know the next step, I don't need to ask him anymore, do I? No, I need to just pray, may it be so. Yep, there you go. There you got it. You got it. Second Samuel 7.
Absolutely.
That's it. So it's a process of, do I have clarity? Do I know the promise? And do I know the step toward fulfilling the promise? Mm-hmm. And at that point, I don't need to keep wondering, am I right? Am I right? Am I right? No, you got it. Actually pray God step. To fulfill it.
Yeah.
And God, what's going to happen at the next step? Show me what's going to happen at the next step.
Right.
And we have confidence in that. Mm-hmm. Like David did, is I know you're God. I know your words are true. I know you said this to me. I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah.
So be it. May you fulfill what's next. And it's kind of a fun thing because I can hardly wait to see what's going to happen.
Right, right. And knowing that every step we take, he is going to lead us as long as we continue to surrender and follow, right?
Right. That's right. So Heavenly Father, we do understand this, that we're to have courage in our heart like David. To pray it until we get clarity, we understand the promise, we understand the steps. You've said it to me. I now had to receive it and say, so be it. May we go the next step. And that's how it works. And so that's all about confidence. It's all about clarity. And you don't want us to go there. And David said, I'm going to find a courage in my heart until I get there. When I get there, may it be so. And that's what you're looking for, is don't worry about how fast it is. Just do you understand it? Do you have clarity? And now may you say, amen, so be it. And that's how it works. And so we just pray that we'll receive that and live it and experience it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.